Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
All right, 710 ESPN, Mason and Ireland. What is going on? It is a Tuesday. Next Thursday, of course, is the NFL draft. It gets started. Everybody's excited about that. That's a great diversion for everybody. A lot of off-season movement in the NFL as the NFL off-season and free agency has gone on pretty much as scheduled. Actually, I think completely as scheduled. And we're going to talk to Bob Bradley a little bit later in the show. But Adam Schefter just checked in, and we don't want to miss out on the opportunity to have Adam on the show. Adam, thank you very much for coming on. How are you, man?
Hope you guys are well and safe.
You too, Adam. And it's obviously going to be a draft like you've never covered before because of all the different moving parts. Let me start with this. The teams can't hold in-person workouts. They're doing everything on Zoom. In your opinion, how critical are those workouts in the process? How much of a limitation does this put on teams that they can't meet in person and hold individual workouts? Is that a big deal or a little deal in your opinion?
Teams think it's a big deal. I don't think it's a big deal. Only because everybody's in the same situation. So the Rams and Chargers can't have their workouts with guys. Guess what? The Raiders can't. The Chiefs can't. The Broncos. Nobody can. So it places more of a priority and more importance on your scouting department and making sure that they did the work during the season, scouted games, talked to coaches, did their research, did their work, and if they did what they were supposed to do during the year, I don't think it's a problem.
Have they accounted for the fact that what they would do if there was a technical difficulty for a team and they were not able to pick on time?
Right. I know that there are these doomsday scenarios and whatnot, but the fact of the matter is there are various team officials with various communications to the NFL. So if the GM's internet went down, he'd be on the phone with the coach, and the coach would turn him the pick, or the operations guy would. So it's not going to be like that. It's not going to – I don't believe that the draft is going to go off with hiccups like, oh, let's pause it, like the auto draft when you're doing a fancy draft, or hold on, let's pause the draft here. This guy, we can't find this guy. He's in the bathroom. It's not going to be like that.
We're talking to the great Adam Schefter. Adam, Tua Tagovailoa is obviously somebody that everybody's talking about. Some people we've talked to and that we've had on the show say he's a can't-miss prospect, that he's the best technical passer since Andrew Luck. Other guys say wouldn't touch him because of the injuries.
Give
us your feeling on, first of all, like, would you take Tua based on you know? And more importantly, are more teams pro-Tua or anti-Tua?
I mean, those are hard questions, and they're not just simple answers. Would I take Tua? Would I take Tua with the first pick? No. Would I take Tua with the third pick after some guy? Maybe. Who's my quarterback? Would I take Tua? So you can't just answer the question just in a vacuum like that. It doesn't work. It's not that simple. Do I have to trade up to get him? Do I take him? Can I take him where I am? Has my team won a Super Bowl? Has it not won a Super Bowl? Have I had playoff success? How important is it to sell tickets? Like, there's so many questions. So you can't say, would I take him? Well, I happen to like him. I think he's a really exciting prospect. I do think there's some medical concern amongst the teams I've spoken to. How real that is or isn't, I don't know. But, that's the deal. And so, again, you just can't answer that question with a simple statement.
I'm a Rams fan and a Rams season ticket holder, and they've really jettisoned some talent this year. They cut Todd Gurley. They traded Brandon Cooks. They let Greg Zuerlein go. But they have made moves. What do you think of what they're doing, and what is their priority, do you think, in the draft?
Well, I think they're recalibrating a little bit. They've had to make some moves that they feel like are in – important for their team. I think that they have a lot of holes. There's a lot of ways that they could go in this draft. I think that they still could use some pass rush help. They could use some secondary help. Could always use offensive line help with some of the veterans they have there. Probably could use another running back at some point in time. Another wide receiver wouldn't hurt. I mean, there's a lot of ways they could go, right?
Right. And I think that you can't tell what they are yet. That division is obviously loaded. San Francisco's coming back fully stocked. Seattle looks like they're going to be good again. And so well, do you agree with us? We think that might be the best division in football with the improvements that Arizona made. Are we being homers, or is it a fair assessment of the NFL that the NFC West is the best division right now?
Well, best division on paper, maybe. Yeah, you wouldn't get much of an argument from me. I think that's going to be a very competitive division. I think Arizona is going to be improved. San Francisco's tough. Seattle's, yeah, it's a good division. The Rams have their work cut out for them. But I don't know that this year, you know, Josh Allen's going to blossom and Sam Darnold's going to blossom and you know, the quarterback the Dolphins draft doesn't take. Like, you just don't know. But, yeah, I think the West, the NFC West will be tougher than it's been in recent years. Yes, from top to bottom, yes, I agree with that.
Let's talk a little bit about where the NFL stands in this pandemic. There have been plans floated. The NFL seems intent on trying to do things, trying to keep their calendar exactly as it is. Is there a scenario by which they do something different? Are they prepared potentially to have games without fans?
They can't answer that question right now, and they don't have to answer that question right now. And it would be impossible to answer it. I honestly think, from my conversations with people, that they're really focused right now, as crazy as this is, on getting to the draft next week, because it's such a complex, complicated undertaking. And I think once they get through that, they have all of May, all of June, all of July to go figure out, okay, can we have a season? Can training camp start on time? What if we get to push it back? Are there going to be fans? And those football questions come off scientific answers. How widespread is testing going to be? Are they going to have antibody testing? Are players going to be quarantined? Can they quarantine them? Do they need to do that? I mean, there's a lot of scientific questions that come way before football questions in our society that will influence and dictate how the football season does or doesn't unfold.
Adam Schefter is our guest. And Adam, so here comes the draft next Thursday. You are one of several reporters who speculated whether or not it should actually be happening, but now it is, and everybody assumes that they're moving forward. How are you guys at ESPN, and you know, we'll be on the air when you're doing it, how do you cover this? Obviously, for example, I'm guessing you're part of it. Are you going to be at home? Is Roger Goodell at home? Is everybody at home? How do you go about covering something in this pandemic where we've never really done it this way before?
The answer to all those questions is yes. Yeah, I'm at home. Roger's at home. Most of ESPN's at home. Trey Wingo will be in studio with a select few people. I had him on my podcast this week. Talked about it at length, what that'll be like for him. It'll be a new experience for everybody. And it won't change the way we cover it very much, but I will be home. It will be done virtually. We won't be in a raucous, energy-charged environment. There won't be hundreds of thousands of screaming fans. There won't be all the pageantry that comes along with doing the draft, whether it's in New York or Philadelphia or Chicago or Dallas or Nashville or Las Vegas. The draft has gotten, from a fan standpoint, bigger and bigger every year in terms of a live event. It probably would have been the biggest it's been in Vegas. And so now I'm going to be in my house like I am every day. And everybody will be in their house every day. And everybody's adjusting. I don't think you cover the event any differently. You know, you're still tracking where players are going, what teams are doing, who's rising, who's trading up, who's trading back, where the quarterbacks are going, all the same questions that we all want to know. And so none of that changes. It's really probably just a simple function of it's the only game in town now, right? It used to be right. The draft is on and it's competing with NBA playoff games or NHL playoff games or baseball, Major League Baseball games. Well, there's no baseball. There's no hockey. There's no basketball. There's no nothing. So I would think that people will be tuned into ESPN next Thursday night to watch the draft.
Yep. And we all will be. In fact, we'll be on the air live and carrying the picks as they come down. We look forward to watching with you, Adam. And thanks a lot for coming out. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Be well. Stay safe. Thanks for having me.
You too, Adam. It's going to be unusual because I think it's going to get probably the best ratings it's ever had, right?
Oh, I would imagine. Yeah. And somebody said, I think Lindsay said, it's on ABC and it's on ESPN. Simultaneously.
ESPN is also simulcasting the NFL on NFL Network. That'll be the same feed. And then ABC is a separate one.
Oh, okay, got it. So ESPN will be simulcasting the NFL Network feed, and Channel 7 will be doing our network coverage. Got it. Adam said it. It's the only show in town. By the way, didn't he seem annoyed with us for some reason? Adam's annoyed with us.
He's annoyed that the draft is happening. I wondered even if we should ask him about it. Remember, he was the most outspoken reporter, not just in sports, but maybe, I mean, he does not believe that this draft should be going on in the middle of this pandemic. He just doesn't. And he's had an interesting background. I didn't want to, you know, open this up and make this story about him, but he's married to a 9/11 widow.
Okay.
He's been through traumatic events before.
Sure.
He's a reporter, and there's a lot of people that agree with him, Mace, that this draft could have been delayed for a month. And
yep.
It wouldn't have made it would have been just as easy to do this on. They're going to do it on the 23rd, right? It's going to, that's the 23rd of April. That you could have done it on the 23rd of May just as easily. And why aren't we giving the country a month to deal with this extraordinary issue and doing the draft then? But the NFL feels like they can respect social distancing and follow the rules, and they want to give us a diversion, so they're going for it.
Yeah.
And I think that if he sounded short. I think he's doing interviews because it's his job, and he works for ESPN, and we're an ESPN station. But he firmly believes that they're making a mistake doing this draft next week. By the way,
right.
Do you?
No. I mean, I think it's possible for us to do two things at once. I think it's completely possible for us to have this diversion and have the NFL do what it's going to do while the rest of the country is dealing with issues like this.
I agree with you. You know, we got to get Bob Bradley in next because
okay.
He's on hold. But I agree with you. I think I don't have a problem with it happening.
Yeah. All right. Bob Bradley from LAFC is coming up next for you. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right. So Adam Schefter joined us there. And we are continuing to keep everything upbeat and enthusiastic and optimism. This is a place for positivity. Mason and Ireland show. Last year, I got the opportunity to be at LAFC multiple times, including being the honorary Falconer one night. It was a great season for LAFC, the black and gold, and won the Supporters Shield. Unfortunately, lost to Seattle in the playoffs, but a great season all in all. And joining us right now is Bob Bradley, who is the coach of LAFC. Bob, thanks for coming on. How are you?
I'm all right, guys. I was just listening to the end of your last part. It's interesting as far as what things need to be postponed and what things give us something else to look at and think about.
Yeah, and Bob, it's something that you're dealing with in your sport. You guys, you know, had just ramped up to get started. You obviously have one of the favorites in the league, and now everything's getting delayed. How are you staying in touch with your players? Are you staying in touch with your players? Are in your sport, are these guys able to go out and kick a ball? I guess you could do social distancing and do some drills. Are they attempting to do that, or what's the status of soccer in this country right now?
Our guys are doing a very good job, and I'd give a real big shout out to our performance staff, Gavin Benjafield and Daniel Guzman and Tom Joe, because in order to keep our players engaged, it's really an individual thing as much as anything. Dependent upon where someone lives, what kind of space, what equipment they have, that directly says how much they can do. Some guys have a little space and can still take a ball and get out and do things moving and maybe a little bit of a wall, play passes off the wall. Other guys not so lucky, but we're doing everything to keep them going.
Bob, are you proceeding with your job as usual? In other words, are you still thinking about opponents? Are you still planning for the season when it begins?
Doing the job, I don't know about as usual. A lot of looking back at what we did in preseason, what our games look like, watching other teams that I think do things that we look at to improve ourselves. This whole new concept of Zoom calls, I'm on with my staff and we're putting up clips and discussing ideas. And then trying in all ways with everyone on our staff to stay in touch with players.
Bob Bradley is our guest. For those of you who don't know, Bob has one of the most interesting resumes of anyone ever to coach soccer. He's been the national coach for USA, for Egypt. He's coached in MLS. He's coached in the Premier League. And so, Bob, you've seen soccer all over the world and coached all over the world. It seems to me, and I'll get your opinion because you would know better than I would, but it seems to me you guys have a very unique fan experience at Banc of California Stadium. This 3252 that you've created, and the fact it's almost, from what we've been told, it's almost more of an overseas environment with the way that has come together. Is it going to be tangibly different if you guys have to play without fans?
The possibility of returning without fans is real. I know those discussions are going on. And when I coached in Egypt and there was a terrible stadium massacre, we played in a World Cup qualifier in an empty stadium, and it was eerie and in many ways sad. But if we do it this time around, it's simply because in these unprecedented times, it's a way to bring the game back. And I think our fans, as much as they want to be there on the inside and as much as we need them, I think we can reintroduce the game and feel like it's still a way that we're all getting back together, even though we're not there. So it's not perfect, but our fans are really special. The connection we have, 3252, and really with the city of Los Angeles throughout this whole pandemic has only gotten stronger. I mean, we've got so many members of our fan base that are on the front lines, doctors, nurses, emergency care workers, drivers, law enforcement. And right now, man, they're the heroes. And so as much as they show up in the stadium and go nuts for us, right now we're in awe of what they're doing.
Have you been party at all, or the organization been party at all to a way in which the MLS can potentially restart, ways, dates, all that kind of stuff?
Yes, John Thorington's been right in the middle of that, and of course with some of our owners. I think they're looking at all possibilities, and I got asked on a national media call earlier today how I felt, and I kind of said, look, I can't wait to get started. Of course, it's got to be at the right time when it's safe. And when that moment comes, I don't really care how we get started. I just miss the game right now. I miss our fans. I miss the passion. And in the right moment when we get back, it's going to be a strong statement that together we've all gotten through this difficult period, and then we can find ways to move on.
Bob Bradley is our guest, and I mentioned, Bob, you've coached all over the world, including in the Premier League, which now has kind of caught on over here. I know your stay over there was brief, and you were at Swansea just for a little while, but I was wondering, as I watch those games on TV sometimes, and then I watch the LAFC games, to me, they look similar. Obviously, the players are a little more highly paid in the Premier League and a little bit different. But I'll ask you, what's the biggest difference? Is it simply skill level of the players, or is there more to it than that?
There are different factors. If you look at the top teams in the Premier League, and obviously this year, Liverpool, who hadn't won a championship in a long time, had put themselves in an unbelievable position to win the league. The talent level across the board on their roster is still above ours. And yes, payrolls are higher. The games in the Premier League have a very high tempo. They're physical. I think our league continues to move in that direction. But we're still we're still growing. And you know, we have a young team at LAFC. I think we have guys that are capable of, in their careers, playing in the Premier League. And we're just determined that we can continue to evolve as a team and as a league. And then hopefully, step by step, get closer to the top couple of leagues in the world.
Not that I want this to happen, but do you think Carlos Vela could play in the Premier League?
He can for sure. So Carlos, as a young player, was at Arsenal. And he showed his talent there, but never broke through in a big way. And then he went to Spain, Real Sociedad. But I think everyone that has played with Carlos, teammates, guys that have then coached him, everyone recognizes the talent. And maybe when he was young, as a first move coming out of Mexico, maybe he wasn't quite ready. But I've seen him mature in so many ways. But talent-wise, Carlos could play in the Premier League for sure.
Bob, thank you for doing this. We know everybody's holed up, and we appreciate you making a few minutes for us. And most of all, we hope you and your family are staying safe.
Guys, I appreciate it. And to you and all your viewers, stay strong and stay healthy.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, Bob. There is Bob Bradley, head coach at LAFC. If you've never been to an LAFC game, I'm telling you, it is a really unique LA experience. The stadium is absolutely beautiful. We had Tom Penn on the other day, and I was talking about I had the really crazy experience. It was honestly, and I'm not making this up, a career highlight being the Falconer at a game last year. I was as buzzed and excited as I've been about anything I've done in the last decade doing what I'm doing. The crowd is unbelievable. The stadium's absolutely beautiful. The 3252, I got to go down and hang out with those guys. They are just crazy. It is just an all-round success. And by the way, that stadium, I went to see Mumford & Sons last year at that stadium. It is a great place for a concert, too. It's hard to believe when you're in there that the ruins that were the L.A. Sports Arena used to stand in that spot.
Yeah, it is. One day they're going to write a book about how you start a franchise, and there'll be at least two chapters in there about the LAFC and how they nailed it from the get-go. Really good. All right, yeah. Coming up next, we'll take some of your phone calls, 877-710-ESPN, and we have a ton of voicemails.
Yeah, a ton of voicemails.
On the new voicemail line, which is 530-377-6710, 530-ESPN-710, and we'll get to some of those as well. You can also reach out to us on Twitter. Just hashtag it, Ask Mason and Ireland, and we'll get to some of those questions, too.
Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. And this portion of the show brought to you by Alignment Healthcare, changing healthcare one person at a time. So we got a bunch of ways for you to reach out to us. Thanks to Schefter. And thank you to Bob Bradley for joining us.
All right,
people
so,
didn't pick up on the fact that Schefter was kind of salty.
All right, so on our hashtag Ask Mason and Ireland, we got a great question. All right, so Remember last week when I asked you guys which house you want to be in, and I gave you a whole bunch of different people.
Okay? Yes.
So somebody named SC Leon says to us that he's put everybody that works into ESPN into six houses. Okay.
Okay.
Three people in each house. You have to decide which one you're going to move to a different house.
Okay.
And you can't pick the house you're in.
Oh, I see what it is. Okay? Yeah, I see it.
All right. So house number one, Mason, LZ, and Amanda. House number two, Ireland, Bergman, and the good Cambro. Which one's the good Cambro? Is that Andy or Brian?
That's Brian.
Okay. House number three... Keyshawn, the bad Cambro, so that's Andy.
Andy, right.
And Lindsay. So it's Key, Andy, and Lindsay.
Yeah.
Okay, house number four, Sliwa, Momo, and Travis.
Okay.
Oh, God. House number five, Sedano, Raj, and Michael Thompson.
Yep.
House number six, Mike Trudell, Morales, and Ben Lyons. So you have
me,
to.
This is easy.
Me too. Are you going? Where are you going?
I am. Do I get to replace somebody in the house, or I'm just joining the house?
You're. I think you're. No, no. Let's say you go in and you get to pick who comes out.
Okay, so I am going to choose house number 4 with Momo and Travis and kick Sliwa out.
Okay, so that means Sliwa goes to house number 1, and that house is now Sliwa, LZ, and Amanda.
Yes.
All right, Lindsay, you're in house 3 with Keyshawn and Andy. Which house you want to go to?
I mean, I would probably do the same thing Mason did, but since he already did it, I guess I would kick Mason out.
All right, so now you're moving into house 4 with Mason, or no, with Momo and Trudell. Who you kick? Okay, Mace, who did you kick out? You kicked out
Sliwa? I kicked out Sliwa, yeah.
I'll kick out Travis.
All right, so you're in with, so it's Momo, Mason, and Lindsay.
Yeah, they're Momo, Mason, and Lindsay now in that house.
Can
I change houses now?
No, you already, you've been usurped.
I've made my bed.
That is funny.
Yeah. All right. I have to get out of my house with Bergman and Brian Kamenetsky. So I'm kicking out Sedano and going into house 5 with Raj and Michael. Because I know Michael will never come out of his room. He will
That's
sit
true.
There
you will
in
never
a hazmat
leave the room.
Suit, and Raj and I can have the whole place to ourselves. That's the type of thing you can send us. Hashtag Ask Mason in Ireland. Now, Funch, you got a bunch of voicemails. Let's hear one of them.
We Hacksaw Hamilton here, and I want to talk sports with Mason Ireland, my former coworkers at the Mighty 690. But first, a word from our sponsors. Car Country Carlsbad, where you always get a great deal on a used car, and Legend Sports Bar in Newport Beach. Where all the waitresses are number one draft picks. Haha. Now let's get back to those jam-packed phone lines. Wilma, in Cardiff by the Sea, your mom is Lee Haxel Hamilton. Wilma, are you there? Fine. Goodbye, Wilma. Larry, in the City of Industry, your mom is Haxel. Larry, are you there? Gosh dang it. Clear the board and reload these phone lines now. Ladies and gentlemen, you've just listened to the best 1 minute in sports talk radio. Back to you, fellas.
All right, excellent.
A tribute to our old buddy Lee Hacksaw Hamilton.
God bless him. Now, Lindsay, you weren't here for Lee Hacksaw Hamilton. When was the Hacksaw era? Because a lot of our listeners don't even know who Hacksaw is.
Mid-90s. That's Lee was the voice of the Chargers and hosted Afternoon Drive at the station where we did mornings.
He was a crank.
Yeah, he once told a Raider fan to put a gun in his mouth and blow his head off.
Oh, my gosh, that's terrible.
Hey, Buster, meet me in the parking lot after the show.
And I'll beat your ass.
I figured there was some kind of folklore surrounding him. So.
Oh, yeah, you know. So he used to, Lee would never, he would never say, he's a great guy. But
he's a great guy.
And he was good to us. But he would never say, I don't know. So if you asked him a question, he would always formulate an answer. So one time Mason dared me to call Lee's show right before the draft, and he said, "My nephew is 2. I want you to call Lee Hamilton and ask him what he thinks of my nephew's chances of getting drafted out of Ohio State." Mason's nephew lived in Ohio. So I called Lee with my old guy voice, and I basically called him, and I said, "Lee, this is Ed in Oceanside. I'm a big fan of the Buckeyes, and I'm wondering what you think of Hunter Jordan, the big lineman. What do you think of his chances of going in the first round? And I'll hang up and listen."
That kid, Hunter Jordan. Hunter Jordan has a big NFL body. I believe he's got something to go on the next level. I see a big future for him, possibly a first-round pick.
Thank you for your call. And we played it
back.
He
would just make it up.
Yeah, we played it back the next day, and then we got Lee, and we put him on the air. He goes, "You got me. I'll be ready. I'll be on the air again at 3, taking calls from idiots like you."
Yep.
And it was great. All right, Funch, what else you got in the voicemail?
Hey, producer Lindsay. My name's Jim Wolf. The reason I'm calling is John said that in college football they use a kicking tee. They haven't used a kicking tee since 1980. 89. Let John know about it.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
well,
there's
the reason. Okay, so the reason I always say that is I think when they kicked the record in college football is either 67 or 69 yards. I think whoever did that used a tee. That's what I meant to say. But I didn't know they got rid of the tee a long time ago. When I was at UCLA, we had an All-American kicker, a guy named John Lee. And he was so good, he got drafted in the first or second round. And when he got to the NFL, he couldn't kick because he couldn't kick off the tee. So they got rid of it. But I think the record, we were talking about long field goals one day. And
yeah.
I think the all-time record was kicked off a tee.
Yeah, it was 1976. It was a 69-yard field goal in Abilene, Texas. And it was kicked by East Texas State.
God bless them.
God bless them.
All right, one more, Funch. What do you got?
Hey, Mason, Ireland, Lindsay. This is Art from Whittier. And I have a question for you. What's the definition of insanity? Now, I know what you're thinking. That's not it. There's a new definition in town, thanks to you, John Ireland. After Alan Sliwa misses question number one, you go with him four more times in a row and expect a different result? Wow. Nice going, John.
That is
hey,
true.
Mate, you better think you better keep an eye on this guy. I think he's gone off the deep end.
Yep.
As for you, Sliwa, there's a lesson learned here, and that's never try. Have a nice day.
That's advice for Sliwa. Never try.
Some of those names were like, come on, who doesn't know who Pat Benatar is? I mean,
but I like when he answers things like he says, love her work.
Yeah.
Love her work. Big fan.
He's great. He's
I just
great.
Can't think of her name.
I think for Pat Benatar, he said, love his work.
Yeah. He's amazing. He's amazing.
Yeah. He was born at age 30. He has no memories as a child.
Incredible what he doesn't know. All right. Coming up next, some more of your voicemails. We got Fast Track, 5 o'clock Fast Track coming up at the top of the hour. Also, you can ring through 877-710-ESPN. We actually haven't taken any calls today. 877-710-ESPN. Mason and Ireland, 710-ESPN. All right. 710-ESPN, Mason and Ireland. It is an optimistic, enthusiastic, positive Tuesday. We're all locked down. We are all sheltering in place, but that doesn't mean we can't be optimistic about things getting better. Things are going to get better, people. We got people on the phones right now. Let's go to Jay from Torrance. Jay, you're on 710 ESPN. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you guys doing?
Good,
Jay.
All right, so I have a small business I wanted to give some props to. I wanted to give
a little bit of a...
All right, cool. So, Mason, you remember Jordan Eubanks? He helped you get a reservation at Sir not too long ago?
I do. Yes, I do.
He's one of my best friends, and he's getting married in October. And I'm one of his groomsmen. So he's actually marrying an ex-Laker girl. John, I don't know if you remember Angel, but she was a Laker girl when
good for him.
Powell and Kobe were in championships. Anyway, Jordan has a small business called Wall Kicks on Instagram. So what he does, he takes giant pieces of wood. He paints like Kobe's, LeBron's, Jordan's, different variations. And then he cuts them out. And he sells them, and he also sells prints as well. So the reason why his business has been hurt is because he was a part of Sneaker Con. So he would go to Sneaker Con, cut out wood, sell prints. I've gone with him a couple times, and now there's no Sneaker Cons. You know, you get lower traffic. So I would love it if the listeners and if you guys would check out Wall Kicks on IG.
His spell IG that. Cuba. Spell that, man.
WALLKICKS.
Cool.
You can go from buying like little stickers to giant original pieces, but he's got an interest from some NBA players and things like that, so it'd be great to get some more traffic and keep them going.
Okay, man.
Awesome.
Well, excellent. Thank you very much for calling, and thanks to Jordan for getting me in at Nobu. That was a great night.
He said he got you into Sir. Into Sir.
That's right. Cool, man. Thank you. I've been to all the best restaurants, Sir.
All right. Hey, one more. We got JR from Lawndale. Hey, JR, you're on ESPN LA 710. Hi.
Hey, guys. How are you? Thank you for taking the call. First of all, I just want to say thank you guys for actually covering the only true soccer team in Los Angeles, LAFC. really appreciate it. It's great you guys have Tom Pennell and Bob Bradley. You know, there really is nothing like it in terms of a sports experience. Actually, Mason, you sat one seat in front of me in Founders Club to the last game that you were at, and we had a little chat. That was really nice. So someone's got to set you straight, John Ireland. It is not the LAFC. It's just LAFC. You can say, like, you're a big fan of LAFC, not the LAFC.
Gotcha.
Like, so, but honestly, I want to ask you guys a quick question that's kind of COVID-19 related. How do you all feel about some of these teams still charging their, like, season ticket holder deposits and contracts and all that?
It's a very good question. It's a very good question.
You're right in the middle of that. You're a Rams season ticket holder.
Yeah, I've already – now, I had to pay for my personal seat license because I made that guarantee every year. So I've already paid for that. But – I've already paid for season tickets, too, and so they've got that money. And I think they have that money until they until we find out if there are games or not. But there are baseball fans, for example, that have season tickets that have already paid for them, and there are no games going on. And I don't know if the Dodgers are refunding that money or not.
I don't think they are because
refunding a portion of the money.
No, I don't think they are because I think, Steve, those games have been postponed but not canceled. So until they determine if those games are going to be played, I why would they refund the money?
Right, so I guess there would be a prorated prorated refund based on how many games actually get played, and they
right.
hold the money in the meantime.
Right, and if they can find a way to play them all, then you know, the Lakers and Clippers and other teams that are missing games are all in the same boat.
But if you think about it, if a team was going to do something nice right now, they would refund that money so that people could actually live on it. There are people that are out of work right now and have invested in season tickets, and they could really use that money right now. If a team or an organization was smart, they would refund that money because so many people are unemployed. And
okay,
that money
can I give you the other? Can I give you the other side of that?
Sure.
All right, I can't speak for everybody, but I know I talked to my one of my bosses at the Lakers yesterday, and he told me that their number one priority right now is to keep everybody safe and keep everybody employed, which I thought was an extraordinary gesture the number one thing you and I have talked about this off the air, the number one thing I worry about beyond health is the unemployment rate.
Right.
And as long as these teams are taking that money and using it to pay people and keep them employed, I have zero problem with it.
With all due respect, these are billionaires who can afford to keep people on the payroll while also refunding their fans who in many cases are out of work and could use that money.
Yeah, it depends. I mean, some of these people are billionaires, but I mean, like, I'm not. Are the LAFC owners billionaires?
The Lakers are a $1 billion franchise,
right? But are
$5 billion probably?
Is the LAFC owned by billionaires?
I don't know about LAFC. If I was an organization and I was a billionaire, if I'm Mark Cuban, for example. I would find a way to do both things. Pay employees, because I'm worth, I don't know, Mark Cuban's worth $10 billion. Also refund that money, put money in people's pockets so that they actually can live and survive, the season ticket holders.
Yeah, I think that eventually that money will be refunded, but until they cancel the games, I think they're just moving it around. There's no income. Nobody's making any money. So I don't think there's any devious, evil going on here. But it is a dilemma that all these teams are going to have to solve. Now, football, like in the case of you, it hasn't come up yet because there haven't been any games canceled.
Correct.
But in the case of hockey and basketball and MLS, I think those games are all officially postponed.
Right. But, I mean, ultimately, there's going to have to be a prorated refund if they
sure.
only wind up playing, you know, if they don't play the rest of the season, if they
yeah,
only play, say, five games at the before they get to the playoffs. And
yeah.
by the way, the one interesting thing that came up this week was something Brian Windhorst said on the Get Up the other day, which is he feels like teams feel like they need 25 days
to
in order
up.
To get ready to restart the season. Which means that, for example, let's say it's July 1. Well, that means you don't go back to work till essentially August 1 and start playing games. So you've got to build in almost a month cushion from the date you're cleared to go to the date you actually start playing.
Yeah, but that'd be okay.
I imagine baseball's the same deal. I think they're going to have to redo some mini version, actually maybe even more than a mini version of spring training. One thing that we assume is that guys have the facilities to be able to continue to train.
Yeah, they don't. They don't.
I mean, there are guys that live in apartments that have absolutely no space whatsoever. We saw it even in the horse game. Paul Pierce has got an entire court in his backyard with a Celtics logo on it. And Allie, I forget what her name is. Allie, she beat Chris Paul.
Yeah, in the horse contest.
She's basically got a driveway and a rickety basket. So it's not fair to expect, you know, every relief pitcher in Major League Baseball doesn't have a pitching mound at their house or at their apartment. So they're going to need to go through spring training. I'm sorry, what's that girl's name from the horse competition? I don't want to shortchange her.
While you're looking that up, let's get Johnny from L.A. in here. Hey, Johnny, you're on 710 ESPN. Oh, he's gone. Okay.
Allie Quigley.
Thank you very much. All right, I don't think she missed a shot all night.
Hey, Funch, hit us with one more voicemail before we go to Fast Track.
Okay. My name is Jason from Las Vegas. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I just want to say, Miss Island, you do a great job. So far, Lindsay, you've done a great job. I liked Greg a lot. He added a bit of youth to maybe the old man show. And so I'm glad Lindsay does the same. Lindsay, so far, great job booking guests. Larry King was a huge win. My biggest gripe, I hear Ireland talk about it more, but Mason does as well, is grades. They preach this thing that if I had known back in college, oh, I would have went out more and, you know, not cared about my A's. And I have a huge gripe with this because that A represents something so much bigger. It's not a mistake that Ireland is the broadcaster for the Lakers and has this radio show, because getting those A's taught him a much deeper and bigger thing. First, you have to time management and values and how to juggle a social life and the work life and a school life is bigger than just the A. And I'm sure you can agree with me with that. I hope you do after you give it a little more thought. Anyways, everyone's doing a great job there. Stay safe. Go Kobe.
Cool. Thanks, man.
I respectfully disagree with that.
I actually agree with him. I agree with him. I think you learn a lesson from getting an A. I think it requires work ethic, and work ethic is something you learn in school. It's an achievement. It's an accomplishment. Did I spend too much time on grades? Maybe I did. I did a lot of other things. You know, I did plays at school. I was the president of the fraternity, all that stuff. But I also devoted myself to getting good grades. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It is an achievement. We probably shouldn't sit here and tell kids not to get good grades.
I will tell kids the best tip I ever got. Don't let school interfere with your education. There are millions of ways you can get a college experience. My GPA in high school was 3.8. My GPA in college was 2.8.
Was it really?
Yeah. And I'm incredibly proud of that. That I did way more in college than just go to class. Because I think that's where you learn how to do everything.
So I did the whole, first of all, I will say, I was president of the my fraternity. You were in a fraternity, right?
I was, yeah.
I was president of my fraternity. I was president of the Interfraternity Council. I came across, while cleaning out the garage, my plaque for Outstanding Greek Man from my senior year at Bowling Green. I don't apologize for this, but in high school, I got 1B. And in college, I got 1B.
Yeah, In college, I took a lot of classes. I kind of swung for the fence. I took a lot of classes that were really hard, particularly when I was a freshman. But the one thing I learned is you can bury yourself in the library for 16 hours a day. There are kids there that do that. One of my buddies was Asian, and he said his mom, well, I mean, this is a thing now that's pretty common. You know that a B is an Asian F. Like, if he got a B, that was to his family, that was an F. You know, that if he didn't get like straight A's across the board, he was in big trouble.
Sure.
But I think as long as you get a full college experience and do a lot of different things, then you're getting the most out of it.
But there is nothing wrong with getting A's. You don't have to apologize for it.
No, and if you're smart, go for it.
Go for it.
But I wish I would have spent less time studying and more time doing other stuff.
Lindsay, how is your GPA?
I got like a 3.8 in high school, and then in college, I was around 3.0. But I didn't.
You were the same as me.
Yeah. Well, not really, because my first 2 years I went to community college, and then by the time I went to Akron, I just took most of my classes online or at like the remote campus. So I never got that whole like college life experience. Like I never lived in a dorm and like lived on campus, but
right.
I mean, I lived in Berea in the same city that Baldwin Walls College is. And I hung out with a lot of my friends there. So that part of it, I guess like I kind of experienced it, but like I never lived in a dorm and, you know, joined a sorority or anything like that.
It's a cool experience. It's a cool experience, to do the whole fraternity thing. I made the best friends of my life, people I still talk to and hang out with to this day. They come to town, we hang out. I made some of my best friends in my college fraternity. All right, coming up next for you is 5 o'clock Fast Track, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.